Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to GHCL Limited Q4 FY23 conference call. We have with us today Mr. R. S. Jalan, Managing Director, and Mr. Raman Chopra, CFO and Executive Director of Finance. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this call is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Rohan Ori from Emkay Global Financial Services Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you, Steven. Good evening, everyone. I would like to welcome the management and thank them for this opportunity. I shall now hand over the call to the management for the opening remarks. Over to you, gentlemen.
Thank you, Rohan. Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to GHCL earnings call for the quarter and year ended 31st March 2023. Our results and presentation have been uploaded on the stock exchanges and company's website. For this call, I am accompanied by Raman, who is our CFO, along with Manu and Abhishek from our investor relations team. I'm pleased to announce that we have completed the demerger of GHCL Textile effective 1st April. This will now create two separate sector-focused listed entities and shall benefit all our shareholders. Moving over to soda ash, the global markets are in balance. We expect that soda ash demand will get a boost from environment-related sectors such as solar glass, lithium carbonate, and sodium bicarbonate. Input costs, including the energy prices, have moderated, and supply chain cost is below pre-COVID level. This has resulted in softening of soda ash prices and passing the benefit to consumers. In India also, prices have softened, and we have taken a price cut of 3%-4% in April. However, with reduction in input cost, impact on our margins shall be minimal. As intimated to stock exchange, we witnessed a lime kiln breakdown at our plant. This has happened for the first time. We have taken preventive measures to identify early detection in future. We have made progress to contain the loss, and production shall normalize by end of May. Coming to the textile, the sector continues to face headwind, but demand has started to recover, and we believe that business sentiment will improve in next one or two quarters. Our plant has been fully operational, and there is no major inventory buildup. We expect our margin will revert back to the average margin in the range of 17%-20% in shorter period of time. These results are reported as discontinued operation due to demerger. We continue to focus on implementation of various growth initiatives. We are making progress on the greenfield project, and basic engineering activity are now starting. We have announced a new vacuum salt project, which will expand our product basket. We shall manufacture edible salt by harnessing the energy from soda ash plant. This project shall take approximately 18 months for completion. Salt yield improvement and digitization projects are progressing well. I will now request Raman to share the financial performance.
Thank you, sir. Good evening, everyone, and a very warm welcome to our Q4 and year-end FY23 earnings call. I will share the financial highlights. As you are aware, the demerger of our textiles has become effective from 1st April 2023, and the results of this business have been reported as discontinuing operation. Accordingly, all assets and liabilities pertaining to spinning business have been transferred to GHCL Textiles Limited. The continuing operations now represent inorganic chemical business. For Q4 FY23, revenue from continuing operations came in at 1,141 crore. This represents a growth of 8% on year-on-year basis and 3% on a sequential basis. The main reason for this growth is a better realization over last year. EBITDA for the quarter stood at rupees 370 crore from continuing operation, which is an increase of 10% from Q4 of last year. For the quarter, EBITDA margin came in at 32.5% as compared to 31.9% in Q4 of FY22 and 33.6% in Q3. The reduction in margin on a sequential basis is due to lower production during fourth quarter. PAT for the quarter for continuing operations stood at 251 crore versus 200 crore in Q4 of last year and 254 crore in Q3 FY23. For the full year FY23, PAT including this discontinued operation stood at 1117 crore compared to 637 crore for FY22. This is a substantial increase of 75% in PAT. Dividend for the year has been announced at 17.5 rupees per share, which is the highest by the company. For the year 23, we generated a cash flow of around 1400 crore rupees, including balance proceeds from the sale of HT business. This was utilized towards the capex of 357 crore, working capital of around 267 crore, loan repayment of 342 crore, and a dividend of 143 crore rupees. At the year end, we had a surplus of 525 crore rupees at the entity level, which included liquid fund investments of around 365 crore and cash equivalents of around 160 crore. At the year end, our gross debt stood at 426 crore rupees for both the businesses together, and there was a net cash surplus of around 99 crore for the company as a whole. With this, I conclude my comments and would now request the moderator to open the forum for question and answer. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use their handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Jatin Damania from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, sir, for an opportunity. So just want to check now with the breakdown of the line thing that we have seen, what was the production loss that we had witnessed during the quarter?
Approximately around 40,000, sir.
30,000. And when do we expect the line thing to come back on the stream?
First, let me clarify, this is not 30,000 tons, this is 40,000 tons. And Okay. Second, the lime kiln, out of that major portion has been already been recovered. And by end of May, the full production will be there. 80-90% of the problem has been solved. Remaining 10% problem will be solved during the next few days. So by end of May, we will have a full
So, sir, in terms of the volume, if you want to check, we did 11.4 lakh tons of volume in this financial year. So, more or less, we will be closing FY24 on the same number with a lower realization. Is it safe to assume that?
Sorry, can you repeat your question again?
So, we closed this year soda ash volume with 11.4 lakh tons. Now, with the breakdown in the line clean, we will be losing a 2 months of production. It is safe to assume that for FY24, we will be close around more or less on the same level of the volume?
I think so. I don't see any reason of the production, the sales is lower than the number which we have achieved during this year.
Okay. So one, the last two questions. One's on the your overview on the soda industry. As you said, the demand is getting a boost from the solar glass, lithium bicarbonate, and sodium bicarbonate. But the other end, we have also seen the prices have softened by 3-5%. Even you categorically mentioned about the price cut that we took in month of April. So with the new capacity that is going to come in Inner Mongolia, where do we see soda ash prices given the moderation in the input cost and increase in the overall supply in the coming months?
Yeah, I think this is a very valid and very important question you have asked. And let me give you a slightly picture of long-term as well as the short-term. If I look at slightly on a longer terms, based on the global outlook which has been presented in the last soda ash conference, there is a very bullish scenario coming in next 5 years. Against 63 million of the total demand at this point of a time, the projection in the demand will be 80 million. And if I take all the production which has been announced or the likely to come, still the global team feels that there is going to be a shortage of around 4 million. So that means in the longer term, if you look at, there is a very bullish situation in the soda ash. Now let's come to the immediate, in the next few quarters. If I go country by country, I think I'll be able to give a little better picture on that. If I go to China, in China, what is being said is that alone the solar investment or the solar demand will enhance the soda ash demand by around 6 to 7%. And if I take a normal increase, there is a very bullish situation in China. And all this Mongolian new capacity, which is coming around 1.5 million ton during this year, will get absorbed in China. Now coming back to U.S. U.S., there is a very balanced demand supply for their production as well as their supply to their natural markets. If I come to Europe, Europe's situation has significantly changed over a period of last 1 or 2 quarters because of all the contracts which are there. Of course, the demands are very good in Europe, and supply is also fully operational. So demand-supply balance is there. However, the prices have softened because their prices are always fixed with the gas price indexing. So because of that, the prices have softened and they have become competitive. Coming back to India, India demand of soda ash in all the sectors are doing good. And the growth into the solar investments and the normal glass and the detergent in every sector put together, we believe that a 5% of the demand growth will happen in India as well. So keeping everything in a and we don't see any major import coming in, or more than the import which has been coming in the past will be coming to India. So therefore, if I look at in the total situation, on one side demands are good, some supply increase like in Inner Mongolia you said, or some in the US will happen, but keeping everything in the demand supply will be a balance. In terms of the pricing, as you rightly said, some softening has happened, and maybe some more softening can happen in next few months. However, that will not, because of the supply chain cost has gone down, as well as your raw material prices or the energy prices soften, I personally believe there will not be a significant drop into the margin of going forward. I hope I've been able to clarify to you.
Yes, Mr. Jalanji, thank you for a detailed answer. So last question from my end before I jump back in the queue again. So this is more on the balance sheet. So now, after the demerger, our balance sheet has strengthened, which was already there in last year. We have seen a sharp increase in the cash and cash outflow. And as a corporate, we have also done a good job in terms of increasing payout this year. But we were also discussing some of the buyback that the capital deployment that suppose the company was supposed to be announced in last quarter or after the demerger. So any guidelines on the capital allocation for FY24-25 and any sorts of corporate action that we can see?
Yeah, let me give you this answer in a very straight manner, which we have said as a philosophy that ultimately the cash which we are generating will ultimately either go into the growth of the company or will get distributed to the shareholders of the company. Now, only thing will be the timing of the things will happen in appropriate time. But we are conscious about the reward to the shareholders, and in appropriate time, those right decisions will be taken.
Sure, sir. Thank you. Thank you for the answer. I'll come back in a few.
Thank you, sir. The next question we have is from the line of Saurabh Jain from HSBC. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Again, sir, can you provide more details around, you know, the new China capacity that is supposed to come? What in your understanding would be the timelines, and is it a phase-wise addition? What is the total size of the project? Any color on that will be very helpful.
No, you're right, Saurabh, that this investment of Inner Mongolia will come in a phase-wise. And hopefully this year, probably 1-1.5 million tons of the new capacity, what we are hearing, will come in. But still, I would say that very clearly my understanding about this, that China in a longer-term period will not be a kind of a supplier to the world. Because two things will happen. In China itself, the demand, the growth will take care of this new addition. Second, the focus on the environmental this thing, they will be looking at some soft shifting of the plant or some closing of the unviable plant. So my understanding in the longer term, China, and which has been in the global soda conference also, as has been discussed, China will not be a major supplier to the world.
Okay, but how big is this project? Like phase one you explained would be coming this year, about 1.5. When do you expect this to commercialize? And when would the rest of the phases would be, adding to the global capacity? Is it going to be next year, or is it going to be spread over a longer term? How do you see that?
It will be a longer term, Saurabh. It will be a longer term. It will be coming, like I said, 1-1.5 million this year. Maybe some addition will be next year. Because there are a lot of challenges also there. Water allocation is a big challenge to them. The transportation, because this is a very far off, so transportation from that source to the mainland will also be a big challenge. So even if they want, they cannot come in the one stage. It will be coming in the phase manner. And one more thing which is very interesting in China, which is happening. Earlier, if you remember, the China was more of a dumping the materials. The cost or the economics was not very important for them. Now, the cultural change which we are seeing there is that they will moderate their production, but they would not like to sell at a cheaper price. So keeping that into mind, they will definitely come in with phases on this Inner Mongolia.
But again, correct me if I'm wrong, this will be a natural soda ash process, right? Compared to the rest of the synthetic capacity on Hou process in China, largely Hou process.
Yes.
So would it also be, right to understand that this pricing for this Mongolian project, which is based on natural, process, the price would be much lower than what, or the cost of the production would be much lower for this Inner Mongolia compared to the rest of the products in China? And then they can, so the incremental cost that, you're talking about to bring to the cost, the coastline, will that be offset largely because the cost of production would be lower in the Inner Mongolia? And they can very well then, ship out these products out of China into the rest of the countries like India, Southeast Asia, where they're currently pushing in their synthetic exports. Can that be a possibility?
No, Saurabh, if I can answer in it. The natural soda ash is always going to be cheaper in terms of when it comes to the cost of production. Even if you take an example of U.S. or take an example of Turkey, okay, there is definitely their costs are much lower as compared to the synthetic process. That is very right. However, the supply chain cost from the remote location where the plant exists to the sea coast, like this, if my memory is correct, this is around 3,000 kilometers away from the main port. But the supply chain cost, after taking into account their supply chain cost, and if they want to export to the consuming country like China or to, for that matter, to Europe or some other country, definitely they will be the Indian or the local producer will always be competitive with that. And this is historically has been seen in the past, so like the U.S. or the Turkey. Turkey has the same cost of production. Now, Turkey's metal coming in India definitely has a, India has a competitive advantage because of the supply chain cost of Turkey's production from there to the port and port to India. So you can't say that because of this production, the price disruption will happen.
So what you're alluding to is that the cost of transportation would more than offset the lower cost of production from Inner Mongolia. Is that
Yes.
the right understanding?
Yes.
Okay. And the other question is that, what kind of, so already 4 months have passed by in this year. How do you see the growth in the conventional, segment demand for soda ash? And how do you see the full year demand from the conventional, levers that are there for the soda ash industry? Is it going to increase or stable or decline? What would be your view over there?
So definitely it will be positive. I said in my opening remarks also that demand of the sodas will grow by 4 to 5%. Our expectation is conservatively that demand growth will be around 5%. Because glass is doing great, bottle glass are doing fantastically well. Even the rural demand into the detergent had picked up. Even the textile which was struggling and there also the pickup has started happening. So therefore, overall, we are seeing a demand growth of around 5%.
This is in the conventional segment of the soda ash or the total soda ash we're talking about?
Yeah, broadly this is a conventional segment. And then some addition may happen because of the demand of the soda ash has been shifted towards the caustic because of the caustic prices are low. But keeping that also into account and the new investment which is coming into the glass and solar, we believe that conservatively the demand of soda ash growth will be around 5%.
Okay. Okay. Thanks a lot, sir.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Sarvesh Gupta from Maximal Capital. Please go ahead, sir.
Good evening, sir, and thanks a lot for taking my question. Sir, first question on the soda ash side this year has been very, very different in terms of the margins, pricing and everything. And this was not the level of profitability that we saw in the previous years at all. So, but now you are more or less saying that, you know, this is the new normal. Just from an understanding perspective, you know, all the drivers, including glass, Chinese environmental related problems, all these were always there, right? So what specifically has changed this year, which has created sort of a new normal in terms of the profitability of the soda ash industry, which you think is what it is going to be more or less going forward? So that is one. And second is on the textile side. So even after adjusting the one-off, I think we are still coming to like 3-4% EBITDA margins. So, and you said something like 17-20%. So how soon do we see the margins reverting to the average sort of levels of 17-20%? And if you can throw some more light on the revenue drivers for that, and because of the demerger, if you can also show throw some more light on the management of that business, how has it been done in terms of the top management split between the two companies, and what will be the the thing going forward for that business. Thank you, sir.
Very good. First and foremost, I don't think the margin which you are talking about, you must be referring the margin from a per ton of soda ash. But if you look at in terms of the percentage, if you look at the 15 years history of soda ash and our data, you will find that the margin of around 30-32% has been a very normal margin. So, and currently also, if you look at this year as well, the margin has been around same level. If you come to the, say, per ton of soda ash, if you look at 10 years back, it must have been maybe some few thousand rupees. And every year, this growth of around 9%, by memory is correct, per ton of soda ash margin has been increasing approximately around 9% per ton of soda ash. But, and that is primarily because of the soda ash prices are going up, and I think I've said in the past also, so that prices in last 15 has been continuously growing, except don't compare this last 2 years of the COVID period. At that time, the situation was, I would say that, or prior to that COVID period, that period was slight and abnormal. Otherwise, the margin has been in that range, and the growth in the soda ash pricing as well as the portion of soda ash growth was happening. So my personal belief is these margins are required for a viability of a soda ash plant going forward also. And therefore, I don't think there is a very abnormal situation on this margin, or there is a wonderful profitability of soda ash because of this margin.
The second but question is per ton a better metric, sir, because you are alluding that now from April onwards, because of the input cost going down, you know, the ultimate price price realization
also going down. Prices are also going down, and therefore you should look at the margin. Like your if your cost is going down, your prices are also going down. The margin percentage in that same range should be there. That is number one. Second, I said to you that overall the demand supply situation, because always the demand always ahead of the supply, which has been seen in the last many years. So therefore, I personally believe this kind of a margin of should continue. Maybe a few percentage here and there could be there, but not very significant drops should not be there. At least in the near future, I don't see that. And balance, we don't know in the longer run in such a volatile market what will happen. But at least in a short term, I personally don't see any major region of any significant or any drop into the margin. Now coming back to your second question, which was on textile. See, as you rightly said, after the one-off also there's some, if I remove that one-off, there is a margin in that business. But my belief is that at least for one or two quarters, maybe this quarter as well as the second quarter could be a challenging. However, things are start. You will see an improvement in the margin this quarter, then in the second quarter, and so on. Maybe this 17-20% margin should be possible maybe fourth quarter of this year, or maybe third quarter of, or fourth quarter of this year. But things are looking up in that zone. And the reason of this is primarily because of two reasons. One, last year the compression was there because of the one side the cost of cotton was higher, whereas the yarn prices had dropped. With all the good mills, they had an inventory. In our case also, you have seen that the inventory we had in a higher cost, which we have taken a write-off or the one-off. But now the cotton prices have softened, and because of that, the yarn prices are stable now. And if the demand, the way the demand growth is taking place, probably some improvement in the yarn prices will also happen. So this will lead to a margin expansion. And again, let me repeat this question with this thing which I have said. This industry is a very commodity, is a commodity industry, and therefore fluctuation in the margin will happen. If you look at a slightly longer term view, like we have seen in last 4 or 5 years, you will see that our margins are in the range of around 15 to 18%. Now coming back to the third question which you spoke about the management, we have a very competent management there. We have a CEO of that business. We have a CFO in that business. Of course, they have not been taken on the board at this point of the time, but there we have a very competent management there. We have a company secretary. So there is a complete management team is there, and surely we will support for some period of time till they get stabilized on the entire process.
Understood, sir. And on the textile side, sir, the US had a big inventory issue as such. So are we seeing any impact on our business because of the inventory being higher on the export markets, specifically the US?
No, rather I would say the inventories are now getting, to some extent their inventory has got liquidated, and therefore the new demands are getting generated. And for us, one good thing is there, which is I think we have done in the last 3-4 years, to a great extent, we have moved from a commodity space to a specialized space in every segment of the yarn. And because of that, in spite of in the past, if you look at last few quarters, you will see that many of the industry or the spinning industry, they have been running underutilized. Somebody was running at 60%, 70%. We have always run on full capacity of 99%. And we have not built the inventory. So our customer base and our product basket has been designed in a manner so that we have an advantage over the competition on this account.
Understood, sir. And excess capacity build-up in that business is not a threat for us as such because of this?
Excess capacity is in the spinning. Always it happens. Whenever the times are good, some new capacity gets added. And whenever there is a bad time, the marginal capacity or the unviable capacity gets closed. So this is a very common phenomena in that business. But good part in that business is now, earlier I was seeing, because I have seen this business for a long period of time, a small investment used to come in a big way. Now that is not happening. That's a good sign for that business.
of the spinning business. Earlier, somebody was putting 10,000 spindle or 15,000 spindle. That is now not happening. Now only the larger capacities are coming, and because of that, some consolidation will happen going forward on that business.
Thank you, sir, and all the best.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Vasunath from Newberry Capitals. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. Thanks for the opportunity. This is a question on the lithium carbonate. You have mentioned on the in the initial remarks also that you see a new market opening up because of batteries and lithium carbonate. I would just like to know what sort of opportunity size it is and whether we have started communicating with any battery manufacturers. How would be the margins in this area, and whether we will participate in volume or value kind of thing?
See, first and foremost, lithium carbonate has a huge potential. Of course, it will be more in China because this and today also world's total 70% of the production of lithium carbonate gets produced in China. And this is also one of the driver of China becoming a more exporter to the soda ash, because there also the lithium carbonate consumption of soda ash in the lithium carbonate will also multiply in next few years. In India, some reserve has been found out. However, still not in a very significant manner the lithium consumption or the soda ash consumption in lithium is happening. Maybe going forward that will happen. So therefore, at this point of the time, I would not be able to say that, okay, some volume is coming, our volume is going in that segment, or in near future that volume will be going. But globally, the lithium carbonate will be a big driver of soda ash consumption.
Okay. So in India, you say the visibility after one odd year, looking into the small kind of volumes would start?
Yes, you can say that, yes.
Okay, understood. Thank you. That's it from us.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Vishal Jain from Techno Family Office. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Just two questions regarding the demerger of the textile unit. By when we can expect the listing of the demerged company, that textile company? And secondly, the cost of acquisition, what would be the cost of acquisition? Would the company share any directives for that?
See, Vishal, if I look at in terms of the listing, hopefully I think by this month end, the listing should happen. I'm sure that you must have got the shares of textile in your portfolio. And the process is on, and hopefully by this month end, or maybe prior to that, the listing will happen. The second is that in terms of the costing, we are working out that costing, and hopefully we will come back soon to the shareholders that what costing in your balance sheet you have to take into account while transferring this cost from a joint investment to a separate investment in the textile. But that number will be, I think, will be a good number.
Okay, so that also we can expect by another 10-15 days?
Yeah, 100%.
Okay. Thanks a lot and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Saket Kapoor from Kapoor Co. Please go ahead.
Namaskar, sir, and thank you for this opportunity. Sir, this will take into account the additional volume that will be coming from Inner Mongolia. Your understanding is that it will be consumed by the Chinese market itself, and that will be more skewed towards the solar requirement with the type of projects that China has envisaged over a period of time. This understanding is correct, that is that this material is not going to flow to other geographies.
I think this is what my understanding at this point of the time.
So and then, sir, secondly, taking into account how what is your understanding on the raw material basket and the power fuel cost shaping up, and what factors would be driving the same? Your thoughts on the same?
power cost and all the raw material costs are softening, and it has softened quite a bit. And hopefully, my personal belief is that this will remain softened, or this will remain at this level going forward also.
And on the salt front, sir, I think so. The improvement in the salt in part. When will the company start reaping the benefit of the same? And for the current year, sir, we will be also getting the benefit of the expanded capacity from RBC. So, your thoughts? When will that flow into our numbers?
You see, so far as this RBC is concerned, so far as the salt is concerned, we will start seeing the benefit in this year, but not 100%, but gradually. But some benefits or good benefit will be seen this year itself. In terms of the RBC, maybe some benefit will be seen this year. Of course, the RBC market is slightly sluggish at this point of the time, and therefore may not be a very significant bottom line or addition this year. But in the longer run, as I have been saying, that this flue gas treatment, some of the consumers of the flue gas treatment, their trial has been very, very successful. So we are clearly seeing in the near future lot of upside into the consumption of the flue gas treatment, sodium bicarbonate consumption into the flue gas treatment. But it may take some time to really get a full benefit of the expansion which we have done.
As you mentioned, the demand is sluggish. So we have, I think, so added 30,000 tons in the last quarter. I mean, our capacity has doubled from 30 to 60,000. So what kind of utilization levels?
Saket, at this point of the time to give a specific number will be difficult. But like I said, market is sluggish and our volume has increased from 60,000 to almost around 120,000 tons.
Right. Sir, in your hello. The capex number mentioned post the board meeting was 336 crore. So, if you could elaborate where this money is going to be spent.
So, obviously, this money is going to be spent on the greenfield project and vacuum salt, which I have just mentioned in my speech or my opening remarks, which is a new product basket. Investment will be there also, and regular like a green initiative, we are doing some investment will go into the green energy, those kind of a thing.
Okay. So there will be no incremental volume for this year. We would be producing 1.2 million taking into account also the effect of the breakdown. We can look forward for this year for a production of 1.2 million tons for the year as a whole?
See, our capacity is 1.2 million tons, and based on that, what we have been doing in the past and keeping into the breakdown, let's see what number we achieve.
Right. Sir, in your presentation also, sir, there was a mention about some losses because of surrender of lease of land to GIDC to the tune of 17 crore. If you could explain the reason for the same.
See, we had been allotted some land long time back for the GIDC. And in 2013, the board has approved some of the land required by the GIDC for fishery port near to our plant. And that land we have given back to the GIDC. And because of that, whatever the cost that land had in our balance sheet, we have taken a write-off on that.
So we are not going ahead with the proposal for which the land was acquired?
No, they needed this land, Saket, on for the fishery project, and therefore we have to give it to them. That was not. This will not impact any of our growth land or something. It was a land which was a little away from our factory.
Okay, so we won't be compensated for that. This loss has to be taken by us even after the claim of the land.
Yeah. They will give me only the land, which only the value which they, as per the what they have given it to us, and that we will be getting from them.
Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure the management is able to address questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your questions to one or two per participant. Should you have more questions, we request you to get back in the queue. The next question is from the line of Riya Mehta from Equitas Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you for giving me the opportunity. My first question is in regards to the demand. So basically in India, I think the detergent demand is going on a downhill. What are your views on it, and do you think that the newer sectors of solar and other lithium carbonate is overcompensating for the loss of detergent?
No, Riya, I don't think there is a loss in the detergent segment demand, and so demand of the detergent sector is good, and going forward we believe that the normal growth into the detergent demand will continue. As you know that urban or the rural population, the demand is now good there, and therefore my personal belief is that the demand in the detergent will continue to be good. The demand of solar, where the new capacity has come, or some of them are likely to come in next few months, this will add to the total demand of soda, which I have said around the demand growth will be around 5%.
Okay, and in terms of China, we're seeing some demand slowdown over there. So basically, the imports from China have increased in India. So what is the scenario right now for that?
I said that the demand in China is very good, particularly on their solar side as well as lithium carbonate side, along with the regular consumption also. So overall demand in China is good, and overall we don't see any major volume coming into India from China in the near future.
Okay, and in terms of power costing, do we see the realization going downwards in tandem with the decreasing raw material cost, and will we be able to maintain the margins of last year?
Riya, I've said that overall the prices are softening, and the cost of production is also softening. Keeping that everything to mind, there could be a kind of a, there should not be any marginal, or there should not be any major impact on the margin.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you, ma'am. The next question is from the line of Rohit Nagraj from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead, sir.
Thanks for the opportunity. So my first question is on the vacuum salt project. So in terms of our earlier initiative on the product line expansion in terms of spices, we have not been able to scale up this particular initiative. So on the vacuum salt project, what is the kind of philosophy that we are working on? Will it be a product which will be branded ourselves, or will it be a third-party manufacturer for some other branded players? And how do we expect this to scale up over a period of, say, 3 to 5 years? Thank you.
I think very interesting and very, very important question, Rohit. Foremost, this vacuum salt which we are producing is going to be consumed the waste energy of our existing soda ash plant. So therefore, this production will be very cost competitive, except the salt and sub cost. All the energy will be kind of a free on this entire process. And the second, so therefore this project is going to be definitely a good basket addition to that. At this point of time, we are not looking at branding of this product. We are looking at this product to be sold in a bulk, as a bulk volume. In a longer term, probably we will see those opportunities of the B2C or the branding one, but at this point of time, no.
Got it. So my second question is just on the volume front. So in Q4, we had this adverse impact from the lime kiln breakdown of about 40,000 tons. What is the expected impact in Q1? And after this incident, what is the kind of preventive action that we are taking that such an incident doesn't occur with other lines? Thank you.
So Rohit, as very rightly you said, first and foremost is this has happened, this breakdown has happened in the first time in the history of GHL for the last 35 years. And we have taken this as a very serious, seriously, and a lot of preventive action has been taken. It's not one or two, there are many on that. I don't want at this point of the time to give you a technical answer of this, what infrared or what kind of cameras and all, there are many, many things we have done. Now, in terms of the first quarter, I think I just said to a great extent the production has been come to the normal in the month of May, and whatever the small gap is there, which will get covered by end of May. So therefore, by end of May, the full production will start, and hopefully in this month or in this quarter, probably 10,000 to 15,000 kind of a number drop will be there, which we have already announced into the our stock exchange information also. And balance next quarter onwards, it will be a full production, full blast production.
Sure, sir. Thank you and best of luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Neeraj Mansingka from White Pine Investment Management Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Okay, just two questions. One, what is the production of soda ash for the last quarter and the year?
Specific number probably will be difficult for us to give.
Okay. Can you give us a utilization for the quarter?
Like I said, this production is almost around 40,000 lower. Or in terms of utilization, if I can give you the utilization percentage, is approximately around 94%.
94. And for the year?
For the year as a whole?
Yes, sir.
It's almost around 100%.
Okay. And so what is the status of the greenfield capacity? There were some hearings and all which was getting delayed. So any status update on that, and how, when do you see the spending for that to start?
Like I said, when the capex detail I was giving, or even in my opening remarks also, I said basic engineering work has been awarded, and the basic engineering work is getting started now. And hopefully the environmental clearances also, all the pharmacy has been completed. So hopefully the environmental clearances also should get in next few months. So I think this physical activity of all this basic engineering, detail engineering and all those things should happen in the third or fourth quarter of this year. And in terms of the likely completion of the project, maybe some delay definitely will happen in this project. But I think 25-26 probably we should see the production.
Okay, thank you.
I'm sorry, one clarification I want to give. Yeah. I think the production which I gave you the number was wrong. The number was 86%. I have given you the number of the sales. I'm sorry for that. And overall, our capacity utilization full year is around 94%, not 100%.
Yeah, that is what I was wondering. Okay, thank you.
I'm sorry for this.
Thank you,
sir. The next question is from the line of Tarang from Old Bridge Capital Management Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Just wanted to check for the Greenfield Soda Ash project. Has there been an upward revision in terms of the outlay that you're looking at now?
I think so. Some increase in the outlay will happen, but at this point of the time, we don't have a full number at this point of the time. But yes, some upward revision will happen because a couple of new thoughts which we are bringing into that. One we are bringing is how to build the carbon reduction, or I would say that the technology of the energy in a manner so that for a longer period of time, the carbon cost are getting reduced, because you know that the carbon cost in the Europe is very, very high. So we are coming with a technology where the carbon footprints will be lower, slightly different technology, more efficient technology. So all these put together, probably some upside in the cost will be going up. But once we are ready with that, we will share with our investors about the whole project.
Is it in the ballpark of 4 to 4.5 thousand crores?
At this point of the time, it's difficult to talk about that number. Once we are ready with that number, we'll definitely share with you.
Okay. Second question was, if you could give us the production volumes for FY21 and FY22 for soda ash.
We don't give a specific number. I'm sorry for that, Tarang. Like I said, we are higher than the last year by 4%.
Okay, and what was the utilization last year, 22 and 21, capacity utilization?
Last year our capacity was 11 lakhs. Okay, last year our capacity was 11 lakhs, and this year our capacity is 12 lakhs, as you know. So utilization numbers will not be representing each other.
Okay, fair enough. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from Yogesh from Arihant Capital Markets Limited. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. I have two questions. One question is, there has been some increase in other expenses on a quarter-on-quarter basis by about 6%. So what would be the driver for it on a quarter-on-quarter basis?
I think I will request someone to answer you.
This has taken into impact of land surrender. You know, the capital loss on account of surrender of land to GIDC, the impact is around 14.5 crore rupees. So that precisely, if you eliminate that, the other expenses are lower than corresponding quarter.
Thank you, sir. And my last question is on the demand from lithium segment. So have we done any calculation what would be the impact on soda ash demand only from lithium industry? Any unit economics, how much soda ash is required for lithium battery? Anything on that front?
So yes, we have done on a global scale because, and if my memory is correct, that figure is around 5 to 6 million in the next 7 to 8 years.
Okay, so like 5 to 6, so if demand is about 80 million, like 5 to 6 million will come from lithium.
Currently at this point of the time, I think it's around 1.5 million tons, and this will lead to something around more than 5 million tons in the next 5-7 years.
Okay, so thank you very much. That's all from my side.
Just for a second, I will just give you a very specific number, which has been researched by the global and I'll give you the number.
Yes.
Just for a second. Roughly around 6% means roughly around 5 million, which I said to you.
Yeah. From the current 1.2 million
by 2030. And currently is roughly around 1.2-1.3 million. So that kind of a number, you can see roughly around 4 million tons of extra demand will be coming in next 4-5 years or 6 years from lithium carbonate alone.
So around 4 to 5 million from in the next 5 to 6 years from lithium carbonate.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you, sir. That is very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Oh, thank you very much to all my stakeholders. Like I have been always been saying, this call definitely helps us to take the feedback from you people and to improve upon our performance on a period-to-period basis. And I think over a period of last 5-7 years, we have been able to do a good job in terms of growing the business and growing the profitability. I remember that a couple of years back and now onwards, there's a significant change which has happened into the business. On one side, the profitability has multiplied many folds, and the volume or the growth into the business of volume growth has also been happened. I think we are very few companies in India where our profitability or the profit after tax is more than 1,000 crores. We have achieved this year the 1,100 crores of profitability. With your support, we will continue to do the good improvement or the good work onto this side, and also continue to allocate our capital in a rightful manner, keeping into account the growth and the rewarding the shareholders. And that will be our priority always. Corporate governance is going to be one of our major focus, and we will continue to do our journey on that also. Thank you, everyone.
On behalf of GHCL Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.